Mike Bowen, our wonderful engineer, and I love just belting that out at the top of our lungs. Nobody knows, just us, but it's still a lot of fun to do. I hope you do it at home, actually, in your car, in your shower, in front of your spouse or a loved one. Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable's book pick segment for the week. We couldn't be more thrilled to have two incredible booksellers with us and some exciting news to go along with it. Book Picks is the time when we welcome bookstores from our family of independents as they dispense terrific advice on books to pick up and enjoy. This morning, we welcome the folks from the Chatham Bookstore and some newbies. A newbie, I should say. Thomas Ulak is with us, of course. He is not a newbie. He is a welcome veteran to this program. And Thomas, I thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, it's good to be here, Joe. Thanks.
Thank you. Now, would you like to officially introduce Sharon and tell us what's up there?
Sure. I'd like to just take this time to welcome Sharon Weinberg, who's sharing the program this morning. She is the new owner of the Chatham Bookstore. This afternoon is our closing, so this is quite a day. A first on book picks and also a closing and a turning over of the keys and of the love of the bookstore to her. So we wish her the best.
So now I have to ask, we'll talk to Sharon in a second, but I have to ask Thomas, so are you done? Will you still have an affiliation with the bookstore? How does that work?
I think I'll continue to be on book picks for a while and continue to do the interviewing of authors at our book events as part of the transition. So my voice may be here in the future, But time will tell how long that'll be.
Well, lovely to hear. By the way, congratulations to both of you, and get ready to sign a lot of paperwork this afternoon. Should be a lot of fun.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Sharon Weinberg, a great pleasure to meet you. Thank you very much for being with us. It's a hell of a first day at the office when you have to do this on top of everything else, but we're glad you're here.
I couldn't agree more. It's actually a perfect way to start the day, don't you think?
It is. It is. Talking about great books is always a wonderful way to start the day. Okay, so where do you want to begin? Who would like to kick it off?
Well, I'll start, Joe. Many of us know Elizabeth Colbert for her book, The Sixth Extinction, which won a Pulitzer Prize. But she's just come out with a new book entitled Under a White Sky, The Nature of the Future. She's a very challenging writer. She actually lives in Williamstown, so she's part of our larger listening audience here, so that's wonderful. But like so many of her writings, they challenge you right to the core. For Colbert, we are in the era of the Anthropocene, which is really the era of human beings. And in her book, The Sixth Extinction, she talked about the impact humans were having upon nature and particularly the loss of species as a result of much of our interaction with the world. This book is a little bit different because she's looking at scientists throughout the world, actually, who are trying to figure out ways to respond to some of the things we've done to the planet. She's connected with biologists and engineers, physicists, and others to try to see what they're doing to respond to some of the things that we've introduced, whether it be carp in the Mississippi, whether it be the coral reef and the loss of the coral reef reefs throughout the world, whether it be the CO2 in the air. She looks at many, many different situations and is trying to figure out what some of the scientists are doing to try to respond to that. The title of the book, I thought, Under a White Sky. And then the last part of the title, The Nature of the Future. And I thought to myself, well, I wonder why that title. It's not Under a Blue Sky, and why it doesn't say The Future of Nature. And I finally realized what she was getting at, because she realizes that one of the efforts to try to respond to what's happening in our planet is the possibility of sending particles up into the stratosphere, which will try to block some of the sunlight, and it will actually change the sky from blue to white,
yes,
which would be pretty amazing and very disturbing to me. And then the second part of the book, The Nature of the Future, she's talking about how we as human beings have been altering nature but continue to alter nature. So the nature of the future is ours and the larger planets, and we're in this together. This is illuminating and a powerful read. It's one that's disturbing, but I also found it somewhat cautiously hopeful that maybe with a change of behavior, as well as with the help of science, together we can figure out a way to make it through this next stretch of time. So a really good and powerful read.
Elizabeth Colbert's new book, Under a White Sky. Elizabeth, who is a dear friend to this program, will be our guest on next week's book show. Not this week, not the one that will air this afternoon, but next week on the 9th of March and again on the 11th. So it is an incredible interview and an incredible read, and certainly recommend it highly. Okay, yeah, next
great.
Up.
Next up are two picture books. We have a wonderful selection of picture books, and I've always loved them. And I was happy to read in the New York Times this week an essay by Pamela Paul in which she said, picture books are one of the world's greatest pleasures, and they offer an accessible way for children to understand that books are for them. They're the carrot that motivates the emerging reader. So the two that I chose today, the first one is called Nikki and Vera, by Peter Cease, who is a Czech-born American illustrator of children's books. This tells the intersecting story of Nikki, who is an Englishman who found himself in Prague in 1938, and Vera, who was a 10-year-old child in the same place at the same time. Nikki turns out to be an unlikely hero. He sees what is happening, and he simply, quietly, sets out to do what he can to save Czech children from the Nazis. He compiles lists of children, puts ads in British newspapers to find foster parents, funds their train connections, and ultimately saved 669 children before the borders closed to the Nazis in 1939. And the story beautifully focuses on when Nikki and Vera and many of the other children he saved meet again much, much later in life. The illustrations are poignant, and the overall tone is really inspiring. I think it shows how each of us can, in our own way, try to make the world a better place. Another
terrific.
Different hero is featured in Kate's Light by Elizabeth Spires, illustrated by Emily Arnold McCulley, who is a local author who also wrote and illustrated the wonderful Mirette on the High Wire. This is a book about Kate Walker, true story. In the late 1880s, she became the keeper at the Robbins Reef Lighthouse in New York Harbor. It's an eye-opening story filled with fun facts about living in a lighthouse with no refrigerator, no washing machine, no hot water, no indoor plumbing, no cell phone, no TV, no internet. And I feel like this could fuel a kid's imagination and lead to a great what-if bedtime conversation. Those are my two picks.
Terrific. Again, Nikki and Vera by Peter Cease and Kate's Light by Elizabeth Spires, illustrated by Emily Arnold McCulley. All right, Thomas.
Well, the next book that I want to lift up is one that I read actually a couple months ago when it first came out as an advanced reader's copy, and I didn't realize it would shoot up to number one on the New York Times fiction list, but it did, and that's The Four Winds by Christian Hanna. So I know a lot of people probably have read this, but, well, I'm going to share for those of you that haven't that this is quite a good book, and it's quite a read. The year is 1934 in the state of Texas. In the middle of the Great Depression, it's in full swing. There's a drought that has broken out across the plains of America, and farmers are fighting to keep their land while crops are failing. Water is drying up. The dust is beginning to bury them. And in the midst of this threatening time, the main character, Elsa Martinelli, is struggling. And what is she struggling with? She's struggling with, do I stay home in the midst of this really hard life, or do I move west like many other people trying to start a new life in California, kind of like a refugee? This novel involves itself with deep poverty, with it lifts up areas of discrimination, the courage and the hope that comes when you're desperate. And it helped me to feel the despair of those in a terrible bind in which they have to make hard choices in order to survive. This is a story from the past, but with a dilemma that is lived by so many in the world in the present. Do I stay with a terrible hardship or leave for a new life? A really satisfying read.
Yeah, it's a terrific novel, and so much there that I didn't know about. Just how long it went on and how horrible it was for so many people across that part of the country.
And so descriptive. She really is a good writer. Actually, I've not read many of her others, but obviously people are following her. And this is really a powerful read.
Good stuff. The Four Winds by Kristen Hanna. All right, next up.
Next up is a YA book by a new author, Happily Ever Afters by Elise Bryant. And this was described by various reviewers as Jane the Virgin meets To All the Boys I've Loved Before in a charming debut romantic comedy filled with black girl magic. So this book has it all. It has a biracial child, dedication to art, living with disabilities, family tension, friendship issues, mean girls, withholding boys, cool kids, high school cliques, all the important elements, including very literal descriptions of extremely mouthwatering pastries. It's a lot of fun, but it also has a very strong positive message. And my advice to readers are to make sure you're near the fridge when you read it, because it will definitely make you hungry.
Happily Ever Afters by Elise Bryant. Okay. And then our final book.
The final book is, I think many of our listeners have heard about this book, The Sum of Us, What Racism Costs Everyone and How We Can Prosper Together by Heather McGee. Had no idea what this book was about, but boy, is it ever a complex and rich read for anyone that wants to understand American society. She starts out with the statement that she believes we live in a zero-sum society, which means that if I win, then you lose, and if you win, then I lose. And she talks about 400 years of mostly zero-sum ways of living in American society, in which there's a racial hierarchy with the whites at the tops and the blacks at the bottom. It tells the stories of slavery and Jim Crow, mass incarceration, and the most current white supremacy. In this system, she says, the whites win. At least that's what they think. She doesn't believe that is actually the case. They don't win in this system. Whites don't win. Divided, she says, the only one who wins are the already powerful. And one of the statements that I'd heard before was, in our society, the greatest group of people in poverty are whites. To get out of this situation, it will require all people together to rise, fighting the institutions and the policies, and to keep blacks down hurts whites, she says. We need a new paradigm, and that new paradigm is the sum of us, all in this together. And I thought about this, and in her paradigm, one plus one, white plus black equals two. But it also may be that often that one plus one equals three. And when you get to one plus one equals two or one plus one equals three, you get the solidarity dividend, which is the dividend that comes when we're all in this together.
All right. I hope you don't use the same math that you're using now during the closing later on today.
You know, Joel, when I think of 1 + 1 = 3, there's always another dimension in life other than just the two of us.
Because otherwise, I'm fearing Sharon is going to get screwed in this deal. So make sure.
I think my math is not so good.
Watch.
But this is highly metaphysical math.
Well, I both wish you all the luck in the world. I know it's a busy time, and it's a very exciting chapter in the story of the Chatham Bookstore. I wish you both the best of luck and continued success. I thank you very much for sharing with us. People can find the list by going to your website, which is chathambookstore.com, or right here at wamc.org/roundtable. Sharon Weinberg, congratulations. Thomas Shulak, thank you very much for being with us, and I look forward to speaking to you both again very soon.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Be well.
Thank you. Okay,
thanks so
great.
Much. Thank you.
Bye.
Again, ChathamBookstore.com to find out more information about their book list and about all the good things they do in the Chatham region. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.